Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
Good morning, church. And to all the kids in the room, we're glad that you're with us today. And those of you joining us online stream, we're glad you're here. This month, we've been in a fun series called Didn't See That Coming. And as I had been thinking about like a story in my life where I didn't see that coming, it was almost like every day there's things happening. Like, I didn't see that coming. Like when my daughter Ruby thought it would be a great idea to turn the shower head outside of the shower. So when I turned on the water, I got soaked, fully clothed. You can imagine my scream and confusion, and I won't call it anger, but I did run out of the bathroom furiously looking for whoever did that. Or the time when my kids came in for dinner after playing outside, and they were just famished. Like, they could not wait another second for dinner. So we sat down for dinner, and I, you know, asked the kids who would like to pray, and Olive raised her hand and stood up on her stool, and as she did, my other daughter, Esther, looked at her and was like, Olive, please pray quickly. And so Olive, without skipping a beat, she sat down on the stool, and she looked at Esther, and she said, you know what? Today, I actually have a whole lot I would like to pray about. And so she continued to pray about the worms and the leaves and the spoons and eventually got to her food, but I did have to interrupt that prayer just because of the chaos that was beginning to happen and unfold. That's just a picture of everyday life in our family. My husband Andrew and I have been married for almost 15 years, and we have three daughters, Esther, who is going into seventh grade, Ruby, who is going into fifth grade, and Olive, who is going into third grade. And that means it's a wild and wonderful mix of middle school shenanigans, elementary school projects, sports, theater, birthday parties, and the occasional, why is there glitter on the dog again? Life is fun, and it's full, and it's busy, and it's definitely a lot of adventures. Like this last November, we went on one of our biggest family adventures yet. We went to Mexico for 2 weeks, and while we were there, we booked two different snorkeling trips. One of them was what you could imagine. You show up to this office where they have waivers you sign, and they have certified guides, and they pack you a lunch, and they take you out to an amazing location, and your guide jumps in and kind of has you like stick with them the whole way and kind of keeps pulling you through, and when you pause to look too long, he says, hey, come on. And the second trip was quite a bit different. This one, we show up, and there's no office, there's no waivers, there's no lunch. We're not even sure if the guides are certified. It's a cash only, and the only thing we knew was our driver said, like, just come and see, just trust me on this one. So we show up to this meeting spot, and it's rough. It's like trash piled up, there's broken glass, and at that point we realized that one of my kids didn't wear shoes, so we're kind of carrying her around everywhere, making sure that she doesn't get into anything. And the thing about this is when they said, go over there and get your snorkeling gear, we show up to, like, there's, you know, buckets on a table and the fins are broken and the masts are, you know, they're not tightening. And so we grab our stuff. And then they said, hey, and the boats are over there. And so we look over and you see these boats. They sort of look like they've been retired fishing boats. They pulled out of storage just for us. The funny thing about this trip, though, that we didn't see coming is this was the most amazing snorkeling trip that we had been on. The guides knew all the secret spots. In fact, one of the places they stopped was something they called, there's like a sunken ship, which if you're into that kind of thing, it's amazing. For me, I had made up too many stories in my head about giant squid and what it would look like for them to come up and eat us. And the other thing they said is, hey, don't let your kids get too close to the boat, because if they get cut, it's really rusty and that's not good. So at that point, it's like, all right, everyone back in the boat. So then they take us out to the next spot, and truly, it felt something like this. There were all the fish, all the different colors. The coral was amazing. They even let us hold a blowfish, which we later learned was poisonous. But we didn't die. We're good. They didn't have, like, they didn't make us wear life jackets, and we're not entirely sure they even had them. But not wearing them allowed us to go beneath the surface to discover more. No rules, no problems. We went into this trip thinking, could anything good come from this? And came out thinking, that was the best snorkeling trip we had ever been on. And I did not see that coming. I went from doubt and skepticism to amazement. In our passage today, we're going to read about Nathanael when he first meets Jesus and he has a I didn't see that coming moment, and he goes from doubt and skepticism to amazement. So we're going to jump in together. We're going to be looking at John 1, 43 to 49, and you guys can follow along and say with me the words that are underlined. So verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is the genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. See, I don't think Nathanael saw that coming, that Jesus would be coming from such a nowhere place like Nazareth. I believe that Nathanael went from doubt and skepticism to amazement. So this is early in Jesus' ministry, right after he was baptized, and he's beginning to build his group of disciples. So Jesus first goes to Philip and says, hey, Philip, follow me. And he's, you know, yes, sir. And I imagine at that point, he's like, I have to go find Nathanael. He needs to come with me and follow Jesus. So he goes and finds Nathanael and invites him. But when Nathanael hears that Jesus is from Nazareth, a very small and unimpressive village in Galilee, he's very skeptical. He has already judged the place, not knowing he is about to meet the Son of God. So I want to break this passage down into three parts for you today. I want to look at Philip's invitation and Nathanael's response, Nathanael's question to Jesus, how do you know me? And then Jesus' response, I saw you. So we're going to jump in looking at verse 46 again. Philip has invited Nathanael. Nathanael, you know, is skeptical and says, Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip answered, come and see. See, Philip's response is incredibly disarming, inviting, challenging, and simple. No arguments, no convincing, just come and see for yourself. Have your own encounter. Nazareth is a small, forgotten, unimpressive, looked down upon village. That's why no one thought anything good can come from Nazareth, which is why Nathanael asked, can anything good come from Nazareth? No one expected the Messiah to come from there, and yet that's exactly where Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, came from. A place of such low expectation became the place where hope began. Nazareth, the place of such low expectation, became the place where hope began. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking about a place in Oregon where, like, can anything good come from there? Maybe you Duck fans are out there thinking Corvallis. Can anything good come from Corvallis? Or Portland during rush hour when you're just kind of stuck there and thinking, like, there's, like, nothing good that can come from this place. Or maybe the Tillamook Creamery when you're trying to, like, park, but you have to park three towns away because of the chaos in order to get in. Just like we sometimes look at a place and think nothing good can come from there, Nathanael had already decided that nothing good could come from Nazareth. He had written it off before he met Jesus. Don't we do the same things in our own lives? We have those Nazareth places, parts of our story we would rather keep hidden, moments we wish we could erase or choices we regret, wounds that were never our fault but still left a mark, the places that make us wonder, if someone really knew that, then what? Maybe for you, it's a relationship that fell apart, or you accidentally broke someone's favorite toy, or maybe it's the time you felt left out of playing a game, or maybe it was words spoken over you that still echo, or maybe it's a secret you've carried for many, many years, or maybe it's a diagnosis or the loss of a job. It's those moments or experiences that make us wonder, can anything good come from that? From me, from my past, or where I've been. And yet, just like Nathaniel received that simple, disarming, non-judgmental, curiosity-provoking invitation to come and see, we too receive that invitation from Jesus. I'm very familiar with that question, and I bet many of you are too. Can anything good come from that, from me? Growing up, my mom was a single parent raising my brother and I truly believe she did the best she could with what she had and what she knew. She was fun, adventurous, thoughtful, and caring, and yet childhood was still really hard. It felt like Nazareth, overlooked, forgotten, and written off. My mom struggled with mental illness, and that the way that she coped was with alcohol, which made it very, very hard to hold down a job. And as a result, we went through a season where we were homeless, in and out of shelters, extended camping trips, because she was fun and adventurous and was doing the best she could. We were on the long waiting process of Section 8, just hoping that our name would be next, that we would be chosen and be able to get a house and a place to call our own. Lots of fear and shame and loneliness and anger and confusion in hiding that truth, because surely nothing good can come from that. What I didn't know then was that in some of my lowest, scariest, and most formative moments, God was writing my story. He saw me. I started following Jesus when I was about 14, and it wasn't until I was about 25 when I really heard that invitation from Jesus to come and see. I was in a workout class at the courthouse, and if you've been there, you maybe have heard of the class called Synergy. It's kind of like a yoga class, but the last song of the class is what they call a rest track. And so this is where you get to lay down and you kind of stretch, and I take that opportunity as a time to process all of my life things, because I have little kids at home, and it felt like those were the moments that I had. And so one day, as I was sitting there just thinking about life and the different things that were coming to mind, I thought about childhood. And I started asking God, God, what good can come from that? Like, what good can come from it? And as I asked the question and not sure like what God might say back and how to like move forward, I also asked God, can you give me a word for the year? You know, like something spiritual, like something that will just kind of anchor me. And then I felt kind of goofy, because like, how do you actually like ask God for a word? And is that how you do it? But nonetheless, I immediately heard the words help and healing. And the way that translated out for me was, I have done everything I can do on my own, and now it's time for help. So I got into counseling. I started realizing that people didn't really know me, and I started processing more of my story with close friends and trusting Jesus with that Nazareth place in my life. When I asked Jesus, what good can come from this? He just simply said, come and see. And it was an invitation that changed everything for me, and I didn't see that coming. He didn't ask me to clean up first. I didn't need certain qualifications. He just simply said, come, come as you are, come and see who I am. And I did. And don't get me wrong, not all at once. Sometimes stumbling, sometimes just confused, sometimes just barely holding on, but I came and I saw, and it changed everything. I saw his faithfulness in my emptiness. I saw his provision when I had nothing. I saw his presence when I thought I was forgotten. I went from doubt and skepticism to amazement. We're going to keep going to the second point. When, as they approach, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know me?" Philip asked him. See, Jesus didn't just see Nathanael's doubt. He saw the truth of who Nathanael really was. He looked past his doubt and skepticism and straight to his heart, and that's what he does for us too. He sees beyond our questions, our doubts, and our fears to the person he created us to be. Have you ever had someone say to you, "I know you," and there's sort of this like strange mix of discomfort and curiosity? Parts of you feel seen, maybe even flattered, and other parts of you kind of shrink back because you're like, it's a little too close. And what parts of me do you know? We've all been there. Maybe it's at a family reunion when someone like Great Aunt Mary walks up to you and just kind of grabs your cheeks and shakes them and you're not entirely sure who she is. Or maybe you're at a birthday party or a play date or just another gathering and you overhear someone saying, "Oh yeah, I know them." And they're talking about you, but you're not entirely sure you've ever met. Or maybe it's at a youth event when a leader comes up to you and says, "Hey, I've heard of you." The truth is we all want to be known. But being known means being vulnerable, and that's terrifying because being truly known means someone will see the parts of us that we work really hard to hide. And here's the thing, and I'm talking to everybody in the room, but to our younger friends and our middle schoolers who are here, hear this, because the sooner we understand this, the better. When we choose to be vulnerable with safe people and with God, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Vulnerability is how we step out of hiding. It's how we break free from the pressures to pretend that we are who we are not. And when we're real about our struggles, we give others permission to be real too. That's when friendships get stronger, shame loses its grip, and God can begin to heal the places that we have worked really hard to protect on our own. When we're honest, vulnerability sounds really easy, but it's a lot harder to live it out. I know that. We don't mind people knowing the parts of us that are fun, but the messy parts, the fears, that's where we hesitate. And nowhere is that more obvious than online. Just look at how we present ourselves on social media. On the surface, everything looks good. We post the highlights, the polished moments, the filtered wins. It's the Instagram version of our lives, but they don't always match the internal process we're in. We don't always show the hard, the chaotic, the overstimulated, overwhelmed, on the verge of a meltdown. Why? Because for me, and maybe for you, deep down we worry about what people will think. We worry if they see the real us, the parts that we have kept hidden, the messy corners of our lives. We wonder if they know that about me, will they still accept me? We're going to keep going to this third section and look at what Jesus said. So Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. Nathanael, I saw you before you came to me. I saw you in your doubt and your skepticism and your concern and your worry. I saw you." Sitting under a fig tree is important because in the Jewish tradition, it was a place of security and rest, a place of reflection and prayer and wrestling, moments of honest emotional process of maybe grief or frustration or waiting. So when Jesus said, "I could see you under the fig tree, Nathanael," what he was saying is, "Nathanael, I see the deepest parts of you. I see all of you, the good, the bad, the ugly." Jesus met Nathanael in a deeply personal and spiritual moment, not in public, not in a crowd, but in his quiet searching. We all have these fig tree moments in our lives, the places where we can have an honest emotional process where Jesus says, "Hey, I see you there. I see you in that process. I see you with your questions and concerns and doubts. I see you having a hard time believing. For Nathaniel, it was a literal place, a quiet moment under a fig tree where he reflected, prayed, and waited. For me, it wasn't a tree at all. It was in a workout class at the courthouse, a completely unexpected place where God met me and my quiet searching. Maybe for you, it's in your favorite chair with your Bible and your journal open. Or maybe it's on a long walk through the neighborhood. Or maybe it's sitting on the school bus with your headphones on and you're just thinking about some of the big life questions. Or maybe it's hiding in the bathroom for 5 minutes. And parents of toddlers, like, we know that is like the holy of holies place to get things done. It's amazing what we can do in 5 minutes of quiet. Or maybe it's in your bed or on your patio or a country drive. Or maybe it's just a whispered prayer in the middle of a chaotic day. Or maybe it's something entirely different. Our fig tree moments are where we feel safe enough to be real, places where we drop the mask and speak honestly with God. They become places of reflection and prayer, where we wrestle with grief, frustration, waiting, maybe hope. Sometimes they hold sorrow, and sometimes they hold joy, but always the truth of our hearts. It's often in those quiet, honest places, those fig tree moments, that the questions we've been carrying finally surface. Can anything good come from this? From my past? From my story? Can anything good come from me? And just like Nathaniel, maybe we bring our doubts and our fears and our questions. And yet, when we dare to show up, when we take the risk to follow the invitation to come and see, something changes. Because the moment we step towards Jesus, even in our doubt, even with our hesitation, he meets us more than we could ever expect. And that's exactly what happened for Nathaniel. So we're going to look at how this story ends. In verse 49, then Nathaniel exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." That invitation to come and see led to a life-changing encounter with Jesus. It took Nathaniel from doubt and skepticism, can anything good come from here, to amazement, a profound confession of faith, you are the Son of God. And I believe that Nathaniel did not see that coming. I've seen this transformation unfolding in my own life, and I've watched it happen in others too. Sometimes it's come through an invitation to deeper healing, other times through acknowledging more of my story and being honest with Jesus and trusted friends about the pieces I have wanted to keep hidden. But each time I've said yes to Jesus' invitation to come and see, it has led me further into freedom. And I believe this with everything in me. Every time we respond to that invitation to come and see, no matter how small a step, even in the bathroom with those peaceful 5 minutes, we will discover more of God, more of ourselves, and more of what's possible when we walk by faith into the unknown. From doubt and skepticism to amazement, an invitation to be with Jesus that changed everything for Nathaniel is available to you too. Maybe your Nazareth feels too far gone and there's no way anything good can come from it. Maybe it feels like a broken relationship, a past mistake, a season of silence, or maybe it's the ache of feeling unseen or a deep place of shame or fear. If you're feeling that way today, you're not alone. I feel it too. I have a relationship in my life right now that I am struggling to see that anything good can come from it. If you're carrying that same heaviness today, doubt, hurt, or fear that things won't get better, just hear this. Jesus sees you. He really, really sees you. He sees the messy, the complicated, the hard parts of our life. And when we accept the invitation to come and see, he is already there waiting, patiently, ready to meet us exactly where we are. Without judgment, without hurry, just fully present. So let me be a Philip to you today, whether you are 5 or 105, and simply say, come and see what Jesus can do. As the worship team comes back out to continue leading us in worship, I want you to consider these two questions. What would it look like to go to your fig tree place this week and listen for what Jesus has to say? And what might Jesus be inviting you to see differently? Let's pray. God, I am just reminded over and over again that I'm so thankful that you are a God who is not offended by our questions and our doubts and our skepticism, but you are a God who's waiting patiently for us to come and see. And so, God, as we receive that invitation to come and see, I just ask that your will would be done in this room and in our lives as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.